This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Invest Talk, October 8, 2014. And this is our one-hour session dedicated to helping you make better money decisions. So hopefully, we can teach you to make better money decisions, both on your personal life and investing life. That's the goal here, anyways. Please don't hesitate to ask any questions, any financial questions. I see that as our most important service to you is answering the questions. We also like to pose some questions to cause you to think. You know, we do that too. But answering your questions is our number one goal. You can get through right now with your question or comment at 888-99-CHART. You can do that every day, 4 to 5 live, where we are now, Monday through Friday. Or you can do it 24 hours a day. Also, you can Twitter us at InvestTalk with two T's. That's our Twitter ID. Or you can get a note directly to me by clicking on Contact Steve right there on InvestTalk.com. Now, as are you a pessimist, or are you an optimist? What are you? Do you look forward believing that the stock values are going to rise or fall? Which do you feel that it's going to go? There's something called the Investor Optimism Index. Have you ever heard of that? It's produced by Gallup, you know, the Gallup poll people. And the most recent poll shows the highest level of optimism in 7 years. Now, you would think, you know, being a contrarian indicator, when everybody's super happy, that maybe the market is topping. And it's the highest it's been in 7 years. However, it's still well below the 2000 levels. And it's still well below the 2007 levels. Half that level. The number is called the Wells Fargo Gallup Investor Retirement Optimism Index. That's the whole name. And it sits at plus 46. And that was the latest day we have is for August, which is pretty old. But that was 17 points above July, by the way. So what happened in September, we don't know. But just so you know, that's still way below 2007. That's half of 2007 at 46. So how, even though it's the highest in 7 years, how optimistic is that really? So what can we do with it? Can we do anything with it? So my suggestion is, if it rises to the levels that we see, saw in 2000 or 2007, maybe then you could say, uh-oh, that's a little too high. I don't know if you can use it right now. I just don't know if it's valuable. It hasn't been around long enough for me to say, okay, well, this is how you use it. Because it has doubled since the lows. That tells you becoming more optimistic. But participation in the stock market has fallen significantly since the 2000 dot-com bubble. So I don't know how to read that. It's interesting, but it's just one piece of a bigger puzzle to think about. So where do you stand? Are you optimistic? You can get through us with, you can get to me and ask your questions or give me your opinion. I'll be happy to talk to you. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time on InvestTalk. Or in between times, just leave your question. Here's our first question of the day from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Oh, hello, my name's Tim. I'm calling from the UK. Question for Justin or Steve. I have inherited some Hutchinson Whampoa shares listed in Hong Kong. They represent about a third of my portfolio, and I believe there's an IPO coming up. They're selling off some Watson IPO. Could you advise me on this holding, please? And look forward to your next iPod. Great show, by the way.
Well, for me to look up that company and try to get financial information, it has to be trading on our indexes here in New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, somewhere where I can get the information. When it's an IPO, I don't have access to the information on IPOs. In general, IPOs, well, you already own the stock, but in general, IPOs are very challenging to be part of because, you know, we get most, if it's a popular IPO, it wouldn't, you know, it doesn't go to us as the public. It gets only those preferred people. So it depends on how it's structured. You own company in Asia, we're trading on that exchange, and if it's going to IPO, I just don't have enough information or any information to really give you some advice. I really don't. So I'm sorry I can't help you with that. 888-99-CHART, so you hear about penny stocks. You know, they go up 600 or 6,000% in a month, in a week, a day. And you're thinking, wow, if I put $10,000 in that, it'd be worth $60,000. 600% increase, it could go that. You know, that's one of our talking points. Penny stocks. You know how I feel about them, but I'm going to talk about them again. Why penny stocks are almost always a bad idea. We're going to get to some real estate talk today on a nationwide basis and in California. I've been reading this fairly long report, and it's kind of a downer on real estate. But then as I'm thinking about it and I'm reading, I always, whenever you read something, you have to learn to read critically. And they're showing us different parts of the real estate market and how it's not doing so well. But then it leaves out, in the entirety of the San Francisco Bay Area, where real estate's pretty hot, still is. They don't even talk about that here. But I'm going to share that with you. Leaving a Roth IRA to your kids. Beware of taxes. We're going to discuss that. And there's a couple of some changes in the winds here that might affect you. Why did we have today's rally? Why? And I'm going to talk about it because it didn't rally for all day until a certain time, and that's when the minutes were released from the Fed. Why? We already know what they said. I mean, we don't know what was actually discussed in the meeting, but we got the results afterwards. And finally, did you know that China is now the biggest economy in the world? We are second. What does that mean? What is that going to mean for the dollar? IMF, International Monetary Fund? Is it going to mean anything for us personally, financially, our country? So I wanted to just touch base on that and share with you my thoughts on it. And, of course, if you want to talk about it, I'd be happy to discuss it if you have a different opinion. But let's look at the market. The Dow went up 275 points today, made up all of yesterday's loss. The Nasdaq up 84 and the S&P up 34. We're still down for the week, by the way, in case you were wondering. We are, after this huge update. And this was one of the best, I think it's the best update for the year. But that followed one of the worst down days of the year yesterday. That's the problem. What we can say with all clarity, the market is getting extremely volatile. Extremely volatile. And this has started to happen as I look at it. The first pretty big volatile day was probably, I'm just looking back, September 15th. That was the first big volatile day. Okay, there's a lot of small movements up there. The increase in volatility actually started right at the beginning of September, but there wasn't huge volatility, just an increase of volatility from the previous month. But really, it's been the last 2 weeks that we've seen huge moves up and down. And I don't know if you know this, but the Dow was down like, oh, I don't know, 6-7 days in a row or something like that, and today was a big update. Does that now sound like a oversold bounce to you? If something's down 6-7 days in a row, down, 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 and then it has a huge update, that's a oversold bounce. That's what that is. Now, the question is does it have legs? And you know what? We're in starting the earnings season. Alcoa reported after hours tonight. Symbol is AA, beat expectations. It's going to be the earnings seasons that will tell us the tale. And not just the numbers that they're going to report, but what the CEOs say about the future. Now, there's a new way to get in on the conversation at InvestTalk. It's answering our Twitter poll. Here's our question. When it comes to managing your money, what do you feel you need to know more about? You can send it via Twitter, now at InvestTalk. That's InvestTalk with two T's. You can get your question to us, too, the same old-fashioned way. And that's 888-99-CHART. You can call us, 888-992-4278. Derek in San Francisco is next after the break.
You're listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Now would be a great time to bring your question to the table. Any money matter is open for discussion. Steve is here to help at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Derek in San Francisco. How are you doing, Derek?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. How about yourself?
I'm good. I appreciate the call.
Hey, heck of a rally there today. And,
yeah.
I picked up some ConocoPhillips down in the high 72 range today.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, obviously it had a nice rally going in end of day. But I wanted to get your opinion on the oil stocks as a whole. It seems like the last 5-6 weeks they've just been battered, and they're down to pretty attractive levels. And the dividend on Conoco makes it extremely attractive. So, you know, where do you see the stock going over the next couple of months?
Oh, couple of months, short term. Okay, let's take, you know, and I appreciate the call, Derek, but we all know that oil prices have been coming down because we have an abundance of oil and economies in Europe and China are slowing down. Ours is picking up a little bit. So, and we have a ton of oil that we're getting, you know, from our fracking in the Midwest. So, oil prices have been falling. They're below $90 a barrel. And that generally has been putting pressure on oil companies down, because if you're a producer of oil, you're getting less and less money. Now, if you're a refiner of oil, you're saying, my input cost, the cost of oil, is going down. That's great for you. Okay, so there, you know, it depends on what oil company you're in. ConocoPhillips, the symbol COP, is engaged in exploration and production of crude oil and natural gas in 27 countries. It's a big company, $91 billion company. They're going to make $6.42 this year. That's about a 13% increase from last year. And the stock is selling for $74. So that's not, that was that, about a 12 PE or so? That's not expensive. But, Garrick, it's also not cheap, because it's been as low as 8 PE in the last 5 years and as high as 15. So it's not cheap PE, but it's a good solid company, and the dividend is attractive at 3.9%. And it has come down off its high of what, about 87 dollars, and today it's at 73. So your question is it done with the fall? And it's fallen. And the answer is, well, do you think oil prices are going to get lower? And then you go to, well, is our economies getting worse or are they getting better? And so it's kind of a convoluted question, especially if they're an integrated company like this one, where they not only look for oil, but do they refine it? Most integrated companies do, and they make money on the refining side. So in answer to your question, this is support, right, where it is, a 200-day moving average. And this could be where you want to pick it up, just like you did. Because there's a lot of support in here. The next support comes into the mid-60 areas, 65 or so. So there's where you find your support. So I think being a buyer or owner is a good idea. Now we just got to know. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're just hoping that the oil prices stabilize. We need oil prices stabilized. And since the dollar fell today, remember, oil's traded internationally in dollars, and the dollar got weaker today, maybe oil prices will stabilize here. Do you have a question about mutual funds? I'm here if you want to talk about it. Or maybe ETFs. Maybe you're interested in exchange-traded funds. Do you know what the difference between mutual funds and ETFs are? Do you know the difference in an open-ended ETF versus a closed-ended ETF? You know what that is? If you have any of those kinds of questions, give me a call. We're easy to reach at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. And coming up on the next Invest Talk, why are penny stocks almost always a bad idea? That's our talking point for Wednesday, October 8th, and we hope you'll listen to that podcast. If you have a question for Steve or Justin, you can ask it anytime at 888-99-CHART, and they'll answer it on the next podcast. This is Invest Talk, and we're pulling a money quote from the old archives. Too many people spend money they earned to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. That's from Will Rogers. We're glad you invested this hour with us today. Talk to Steve now at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Will Rogers, kind of a fun guy. Have you ever listened to any of his stuff? It's pretty witty. Pretty witty. Investing in penny stocks is almost always a bad idea. That's going to be our main talking point. But first, what is a penny stock? Do you know what a penny stock is? Well, there is no really official definition of what a penny stock is. Typically, it's a stock that trades between a penny and a couple dollars. But some people think even $5 is in a penny stock. Typically, they are very small companies with a story, no earnings, very little operations. I mean, they almost always trade on the pink sheets. And pink sheets are those things, those companies that can't make it to the index, to the major exchanges, the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, because they don't have enough capitalization, they don't have a product, they don't have the minimums to get listed on an exchange. So that's a penny stock. And why do people want penny stocks? Because there's stories out there and true stories about making fortunes in penny stocks. Because the stories about 99% of them going out of business are not anywhere to be seen. Only the stories that the ones that did make it. You know, that's what you hear. That's what everybody gets excited about. Because that's what they advertise and what they push, what they tell you. And so you get attracted to penny stocks. You know, and part of it is because you think you can buy 1,000 shares. Wow, I can buy 2,000 shares with a little bit of money. That is nonsensical to think in those terms. Let me tell you what happens on a penny stock. Most penny stocks trading on the pink sheets can get manipulated, and the trading volume is so thin, you get a false sense of you're making money. For instance, in the article that gives an example, you have a penny stock that had a day range of 15 cents to 18 cents. Let's say you were lucky enough to buy it at 15 cents. Could you sell it at 18 cents? Probably not. Because the volume is so thin, if you bought 2,000 or 3,000 shares, you probably couldn't get 18 cents because the very next trade might be back to 15 cents. It's such an illiquid market. You just don't know. It could be 12 cents to 30 cents in one trade, and then you want to exit and put a trade in at 30 cents because you bought it at 50. You may not get it. You may get back down to 12 cents because the next trade, they can swing that much. They can. Anyways, I just want to warn you to stay away from penny stocks. There's really no need to invest in them. You know, and if you do it, make sure you do it with money that you don't mind putting down a garbage disposal. In other words, you don't care if you lose that money. It's Las Vegas money. Great entertainment, but willing to lose it all and expect to lose it all in a penny stock. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to join them, you could do so by subscribing for free on iTunes. If you have a question for me, you can always ask. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is John from Walnut Creek. I listen to you on podcast, and thank you very much for your program. I really enjoy it. I have a question about a rise in interest rates. It looks like sometime in the middle of next year, Janet Yellen's going to be raising interest rates. What effect does that have on a few sectors in specific that I have in mind, One is REITs, the finance sector, home builders, and utilities. So I look forward to hearing your answer on the show. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good question. And the minutes released today told us that maybe they're not going to raise the rates sooner. Maybe late 2015, maybe even later if the world economy doesn't turn around. Kind of gave you that feeling. If interest rates go up, and we've seen them go up a bit to this year, we'll see. Nothing major, but I do think, and you've heard me say it over and over and over, long-term interest rates are going to go up. Long-term doesn't mean this month, this week, this quarter, or this year. Just in general, up. Now, how would it affect higher interest rates on REITs? It will hurt REITs. It will hurt home builders. It will hurt utility companies, but it won't hurt banks. Remember, REITs, real estate investment trusts, they have a lot of debt. Any company that has a lot of debt, besides banks, will be negatively affected. Negatively affected by rising interest rates. So the home builders trying to sell houses, if they have to sell houses while interest rates rise, it's hard. Now, if interest rates rise very, very slowly, which is probably the path it's going to take, it probably won't hurt too badly, these things. Why would it help banks? Well, because banks borrow money, and if interest rates rise from the Fed, and the Fed raises the interest rates, the banks lend it out, and they raise a rate. Now, you're going to say, well, wait a minute, they can't, there'll be less people to lend it to. Well, that's possible. That's true. That is very true. So there is a drag on that end. But on the other end, they try to keep that spread between borrowing money and lending the money pretty high. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. If interest rates rise slowly, it doesn't hurt banks. If it rises fast, then it will hurt the banks. Is it time for a portfolio review? How long has it been since you got a second opinion on your retirement account? I will be in San Jose on October 22nd. I can do some limited number of consultations. I do these each month. This month in San Jose. Give me a call. Go to investtalk.com. Schedule an appointment.
You're listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Is there a question you've been saving up? Maybe now's the time to ask. Steve is here for you. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Give me a call. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind, at least as long as it's financial. Now, I was reading a report. Has an unavoidable decline in housing prices begun? And the report is quoting all kinds of statistics. And I agree that we see it in the slowdown in housing. I definitely see that. But there's certain statistics that I do like in this report, and that is that it talks about sales volume and median price. Which is interesting is this is sales volume year over year. For instance, in Los Angeles a year ago, we sold 8,038 houses in August, and this August we sold 6,508 houses in Los Angeles, down 19%. So in Orange County, Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego, Ventura, all those we're down on average of all of them, 18.5% is sales volume. Price up 9.1% in those same areas. So you have volume down, sales volume down, and price up. And that is an indicator of prices weakening. And this is not just in California, because the same problem exists across the country. If you go to listings, if you're listing this housing, year-over-year change, listings are up, like in Chicago, 25%, but sales are down 13%. Boston, up listings, 25%. More houses being listed, but down, sales are down 10%. And I'm looking at, there's Riverside, listings up 29%, sales are down 16%. There's Orange County, listings up 18%, sales down 10%. Sacramento, listings are up 15 and sales down 12. In San Diego, listings up 11% and sales down 24%. So San Diego's sales volume has really dropped off. In Los Angeles, where listings are up 11 and sales are down 15. Did you notice a city missing in this report? San Francisco, San Mateo, San Jose. Anything in the Bay Area here? Nothing. San Francisco County? No. How about other counties around the Bay Area? Not here. Why? See, I read this report. As soon as I see that, they're not including that in this report, I immediately find this report suspect. Where's the bias? There's a bias on this. They want to convince people that the market is falling. And I'm not... why they leave out that part makes me... I like to critically read stuff. Makes me doubt their honesty, their veracity about this stuff. And they don't have to... They didn't have to leave it out. They could have put it in. They can say, well, there's one area of the, due to Silicon Valley and the booming, tech companies up there. Of course, you can put that in there. But they left it out completely because they wanted to make their point of how weak it is across the country everywhere. Well, isn't real estate very local? I mean, it really is. It's localized. And I will say this. Yeah, I think real estate is not going to be nearly as strong this year as it was in the last year or two. Yeah, okay. But is it going to fall apart? They're trying to lead you down a path that's falling apart. I don't know if I buy that. I'm not buying it necessarily. But there's a good lesson to be learned here. Just read everything you read. Just when you read it, think about it. Read critically. Don't just accept somebody's opinion or even the facts they give you. Are they giving you all the facts or just the facts that support their opinion? Most people, most things just give you the facts they want to support their opinion. Don't hesitate to call us with your question. Also, we'd love to hear your investing story. If you have one, tell us about it. Tell me about your experiences. Tell us about the mix in your portfolio. What do you have? 888-99-CHART. You can reach us anytime.
Hi, Steve or Justin. I am interested in Credit Acceptance Corporation, CACC. I owned it last year, and I sold it about November of last year. And I'm looking at the price right now and the price to earnings, and I'm wondering if it looks like a good time to buy it. Thanks.
Okay, Credit Acceptance Corporation. It is out of Michigan. Provides funding, receivable management, collection, sales training, and other financial services to auto dealers. I think this is the old GMAC, wasn't it? I think so. They're going to make $11.93 this year after making $10.34 last year. They're going to make $13.01 next year. And remember what they're financing, auto dealers. So autos have been pretty hot, haven't they? Sales. So it looks pretty good. Now, this has fallen from 145, got down as low, and the 145 back in March. And then in August, it bottomed right about 115, and today it's at 125. So it's come off that bottom. The question is it worth more money? Well, $13 at $125 stock, that makes it, a little bit less than 10 PE. Well, the average last 5 years is 8 to 14. Return on equity is 36%. Looks pretty good to me. It looks like it's trading sideways for the last month and a half. And now the question is it going to use that as a springboard to go up or come down? And I will say this. You really have to think about what you think of the economy, because this is very cyclical in nature. It's attached to the economy because it's attached to auto sales. Are auto sales still going to continue to rise going forward? Now, I'll say that I'll just mention that our national fleet of autos is pretty darn old on average, and we've been replacing them, those old vehicles, and I do think that that trend will probably continue. So they have a lot of debt, but remember, they're lending money out, so it's not necessarily a bad thing. The cash flow is pretty high, $11.40. So it probably can support that. Growth rate in sales has been falling recently in the recent quarters, but still growing earnings in there. And it's not like that's falling apart. But that's probably why you had that big fall from 145 down to 115, because sales growth was slowing. So you'll have to think about the economy. Do you like it? Well, I can tell you this. There was an insider buying just in September. So they like it. Somebody at the insider management owns 24%. So they like it at this point. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. This is Best Talk 101. When in doubt, get technical. When buying a stock, investors should primarily focus on fundamentals. We've talked about that many times. The fundamentals of a company are the most important aspect of investing. Fundamentals. Do they make money? Do they grow money? What's their profit margins? What's their return on equity, return on assets? But during times of uncertainty, it can be technical analysis that will help you protect your assets. I had an email this morning about that. A person saying, should I put in stops or do I not worry about it? And then you're talking about technical analysis to protect your capital. So you need to have a basic knowledge of chart reading. That's what technical analysis is, chart reading, reading a chart. And without that, without some expertise in that, instead of just buying or selling on emotions, if you don't know how to do that. Fundamentals first, technical second. Fundamentals first. Now, when you're looking at a chart, you're looking for a chart that shows an upward bent to the stock or bouncing from a bottom. You're looking for maybe a double bottom and it's coming up, or a double top and it's coming down. Those are different technical chart patterns that you're looking at. And all chart reading is a tendency. It's not a science. It's a tendency based on previous buyers and sellers actions at the same price point. And people tend to repeat themselves. That's what it is. And the more people that look at charts or read charts, the more they tend to be true because they react the same way. So you need to probably develop some technical skills if you're going to get serious about investing. That's Invest Talk 101. If you have a question about reading charts or any money matter, you know how to reach me at 888-99-CHART. Or you can do it online. Click on Contact Steve. Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com. That's 2 T's, InvestTalk.com. Or send us a message on Twitter. Our address is at InvestTalk.
Let it do its magic. Try our free Risk Analyzer. It's a handy tool that can tell you a lot about yourself and how you match up with your retirement portfolio. Try it out. It takes about 3 minutes. It's free right there on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, my name is Gary, and I listen to your show by podcast. I'd like to get your valuation and your thoughts on Lucindia National Corporation. The symbol would be LUK. Have a great day, guys, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
LUK, Lucindia National Corporation. It's a $8.5 billion company, so what we call a mid-cap or mid-sized company, out of New York, engaged in beef processing, investment banking, manufacturing, and energy products and real estate activities. You can't get much more diverse than that. And it's a diverse company. I always worry about it when they're that diverse. How can they be an expert in all those areas? Did they buy companies in those other areas to become that, become knowledgeable in those? But Lucindia. My problem with them is their sales is starting to shrink. They went down in June. The June quarter, their sales were up 7%, but that's down from 28% the quarter before then, up 13% before that, and 24% before that, and 53% before that. So it looks like they've been slowly shrinking their sales, and you need to find out why. They're going to make $1.90, and it's a $23 stock. The stock has been in a downtrend for all year, for the last 12 months. It's been a downtrend, and it's been sharply down in the last month and a half. So the chart looks poor. Looks poor. Very poor return on equity, 4%. Remember, you want 17% or higher return on equity. At least that's my goal. And this is 4% return on equity. Pays a 1.1% dividend. Management owns 10%. And they have been buying the stock in the last 6 months or so, there's been three buyers of stock in that, in this company. So that's a positive sign. Management owns 10%, which is also a positive sign. So they're focused. And mutual funds have been slowly buyers. So all those things are good, but the stock is in a downtrend and you need to wait till it turns up. It's as simple as that. And I wouldn't buy the stock until it breaks above probably its 200-day moving average, which is at 26. Until it gets above that, and I would not touch the stock because it needs to show some strength, and it's not doing that. It's showing weakness right now. That's LUK, Lucindia. 888-99 chart. Should you leave your Roth to your kids? If you do, this is your Roth IRA I'm talking about. Beware of taxes. Okay, and whether you should or shouldn't, it depends on the tax rate of both you, the holder, and the tax rate of your child. Right now, that child, when someone inherits a Roth IRA, you have to take it eventually. You got to take distributions out of that. And you can't wait till you're 70 and a half to start taking them. You have to start taking them. But you get to stretch it out a pretty long time. Okay, and so the stretching out part means it can continue to earn money tax-free. Because when you take it out, you don't have to pay income tax on it. It doesn't have to be part of your growth. As an inheritor of a Roth, you don't have to pay, add it to your adjusted gross income to pay taxes on it. However, there's two proposals in the Obama 2015 budget that if it's approved, will change all that. The first one is if a Roth owner's, when you inherit it, you are going to be required to take distributions, if you just own a Roth, you're the initial guy, they're going to make you take distribution at 70 and a half. Why? I'm not sure. Why would they care? Because there's no taxes owed. And the other requirement in that budget is that you're going to have a 5-year distribution if you inherit it. You got 5 years. And I think a regular IRA has that same rule. So they want you to take it faster instead of stretching it out longer. And again, I'm not sure. Maybe these won't survive, by the way, these proposals. They could, it's just a proposal. But I'm not sure why it's even a proposal. What difference does it make to the government that you take your Roth money sooner since it's all tax-free? Now, they don't like maybe that you get to earn more tax-free money and they don't want you to invest in it. Maybe that's it, because they want their taxes on any capital gains or they want their taxes. I'm not sure why. I'm trying to figure out why, but just be aware, of those tax changes if they take place, and it will change how you look at it. Your Roth, maybe you'd want to take the money out of your Roth instead of letting it be inherited. And you certainly, some people roll over their Roth to a regular IRA as they get older because they don't need the money. Roll over their regular IRAs to a Roth because they don't need the money and they pay taxes on it at that time. And then don't have to pay tax on the growth. Man, you need to talk to an accountant to see if that's a smart thing. This hour is marching by, but there's still time for you to reach me with a question. And I'd love to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our number. Maybe you want to do a portfolio review. We can do that. I'm up in the Bay Area here shortly. Give me a call. This is Invest Talk.
You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. This is Invest Talk. You probably won't be able to achieve every financial goal you've ever dreamed of,
So identify your goals clearly and why they matter to you and set your priorities. Talk to Steve about it. 888-99-CHART. This is Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Abijah Beef in Centerville. How are you doing, Abijah Beef?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
My question is on Varian Medical Systems. Stock symbol is VAR.
Yes. Do you want to buy it, sell it?
I'm looking to buy it. I mean, I'm just curious to know. I mean, they've been doing good for quite some time.
Yeah, they're actually a very good company, Varian Medical Systems. They're out of Palo Alto, California. It's a mid-cap company, $8.3 billion, $100 million shares in the float. And they announced a month and a half ago they're going to repurchase 6 million shares. That's about 6% of their shares outstanding. So that's really going to help their earnings per share numbers, you know, and they're probably doing that because their growth is kind of in the single digits, you know, 1 to 7%, maybe 8% growth, quarter after quarter, their sales growth. And so how to boost their earnings per share is you repurchase some of your stock and take it out of the float. So they have a really good return on equity. They have 2% owned by management. Mutual funds have been slowly buying it over the last year. And it has really strong support at around $78 or so. So it's at $80.44 today. So I think this is the area that you really want to consider buying it. You might want to give it a few more days to see, because it's been falling for about a month, right? And the last week or so, it looks like it's trying to find support. So I'd give it another week or two to make sure that this is the bottom that it's trying to put in. But it does have a lot of support at $78. Okay?
Okay. So if it goes below 78, it's a good thing to buy it then.
Well, if it goes below 78, I'd wait a little longer because the next place that it should find support is about 73. If it stays above $78, that's what you want. You want it to start moving up again. And I think there's a lot of support right now. Okay?
Okay. Sounds
Thanks,
great. Abijah awesome.
Beef.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Abijah Beef. I like the name. Interesting name. Why did we have the rally today? Remember, we had the Fed minutes. The rally didn't even start until the Federal Reserve minutes of the last meeting were released. Before that, the market was down to flat. Okay? So when that came out, all of a sudden the market started to take off. Now, why would that be? Remember, this is the minutes of the most recent meeting, and they told us what they decided in the most recent meeting. Why would this have any effect? And it was clear that it was the minutes that did this, by the way. Well, if you looked at the minutes, you could see there was talk about maybe not raising interest rates. There was a lot of worry in discussions about the world economic growth. And remember yesterday we had the IMF reduce world economic growth forecast. We had reports from Germany this week that their economy is kind of stinking. So if the Federal Reserve a couple weeks ago was talking about it, thinking about it, and we've seen evidence since then that there is justification to worry about it, then the market says, well, then the Fed's probably not, the market in their mind, even though the market is crazy, remember from day to day the market is very, it's like a spoiled child. You don't know what it's going to do, right? Day to day. Long term, it's all about earnings. Well, long term, the thinking was, well, maybe the Fed is going to be pushing back raising interest rates. Now, how do we know that the market felt that way? Well, take a look at the dollar. The dollar fell. And it's fallen 3 days in a row. Remember, the dollar has been spiking for a couple months because the Fed is cutting QE, cutting back QE, and the EU is falling, and Japan is not as strong, and China is shrinking its growth. So our dollar is gaining strength against all these other currencies. But if our dollar, if the QE is ending, but we're not going to raise interest rates, maybe the dollar has been pushed up too much. Dollar falls. When the dollar is pushing up, oil prices fell. See, everything's interrelated. You just can't say. And so when they released the minutes, you had a rethinking of the dollar, interest rates, of the market. And just what? an hour or two. Now, does this rally have legs? We'll know in the next day or two, won't we? Remember, it's based on weakness of the euro, weakness of China. Is weakness a good thing to be rallying on? Before we close for the hour, a reminder to try our new risk analysis tool. It's free on investtalk.com. It's really kind of fun if you can help match up. It will help you match your risk tolerance with what your portfolio really says, because we can put your portfolio in also. We get many good comments about it, so give it a try. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.